I'd like to invite you to the book of Ephesians this morning, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to continue our little series on the home, the family unit. And I'd like to encourage you to take on board what will be said, what has been said, for those of you that are yet to start a family. Let me encourage you, take note, prepare. For those that have a young family, I trust that you'll take with thanksgiving what I've said, what I will say. And for those that would say, well, Pastor, that's not me, well, let me encourage you to pray for young families and to encourage young families. We had our neighbour attend the ladies' meeting yesterday, and she said to me on the way home, I thoroughly enjoyed myself and I enjoyed conversing with people that are younger than me. And she's of mature age, and she said, I really enjoyed seeing the young people serving. And that's a testimony for God's grace. And hopefully that will have a part in this dear lady's salvation. So let me encourage you this morning not to switch off. Say, well, Pastor, this doesn't relate to me. Well, I like to think one day it will. One day it will. And even if you are of mature age, for example, let me encourage you to take on board these principles and do your part to pray and to encourage the biblical principles concerning raising a godly home. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, please. Let's read verses 22 to 25. The Bible reads Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we are thankful there is room at the cross for all. And Lord God, I pray there are some present this morning that have yet to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. May this be the day of their salvation. And O God in heaven, for those of us that know you personally, I pray that you will encourage us and instruct us in your word. Help us to see what the Christian family is really all about. And help us all to develop biblical family units that will bring honour and glory to your name. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. So far in this series, we have noted the dysfunctional family, and we've noted how the devil is working overtime in destroying the family unit, the basis of a stable society. And then last week we began to note principles concerning the malfunctioning family. Why is it that some families are malfunctioning? And there are a number of critical reasons for that very fact. A malfunction is simply not working to its best, not working fully to its full potential. And I use the illustration of my laser printer. Thank God I've got two printers at home. And at the moment, our laser printer has actually for a couple of months now not quite sharp as what it once was. Little blotches of colour seem to turn up, and sometimes you'll print out something and the lines don't line up, and it's showing these little symptoms of malfunctioning. Still working, still doing the job, and really the end product is acceptable for what we need it for. And working but malfunctioning. And I believe that many of our homes are working but malfunctioning. But the problem with not dealing with a malfunction, it could lead to something more sinister. It could lead to a breakdown. A malfunction could simply be a symptom of a deeper issue that needs to be addressed. So don't treat malfunctions lightly in your home, like I'm treating malfunctioning lightly with my laser printer. It's old, I've had it for a while, it weighs a ton. If it absolutely dies tomorrow, I won't be heartbroken at all. But please don't have that attitude concerning your home, and treat seriously the importance of building a biblical home. Now, we noted the malfunction last week, first and foremost, of the unequal yoke. A home that has an unequal yoke will cause the family to malfunction. By that I mean one spouse is a Christian and the other spouse is not a Christian. Or one spouse is a committed Christian and the other spouse is a Christian, but they're not a committed Christian. There's an unequal yoke, and that can cause the family unit to malfunction. And one prime way that it causes the family unit to malfunction is that it can breed potential confusion in the life of the child, where the child will be confused with the fact, well, which way shall I go? Shall I become a Christian? Mum's a Christian, but Dad's not a Christian. Shall I follow Mum or shall I follow Dad? Or maybe Dad's the committed Christian and Mum's not the committed Christian. Which way shall I go? Shall I be committed like Dad or shall I just mosey along like Mum? Unequal yoke that will cause confusion within the heart of the child. That is one main malfunction that is evident in many homes today. Jesus Christ said, if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verse 25. A house divided will not stand. An unequal home will not stand. It will malfunction, and that malfunctioning will take place in the heart of the children. Rest assured of that very fact. So I challenge you parents this morning, work it out. Work it out. Your children are better off having consistency as opposed to one moving in one direction, another one moving in another direction. You will breed confusion in the heart of your children. That's a serious malfunction that's evident today. The second malfunction that we noted last week is what I referred to as the headless family unit. The headless family unit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3, the Bible teaches us the head of every woman is the man, and the head of the man is Jesus Christ. That is a biblical principle. A headless family unit will malfunction. Men, you need to take the lead within your family unit. God has created the man first and foremost, not by coincidence. God ordained the man to lead the woman. That's God's idea. Don't get upset with me. That's God's idea. And the headless family unit will malfunction. Your children will grow up in a home wondering who's who. Who's really the boss around here? You homes that have a matriarchal setup that is lethal to your children's well-being. Do you realize that a large majority of people that choose the sin of sodomy have had mothers that are very domineering? Yeah. That's a fact. A large majority, are you listening to me? I'm here to wake you up this morning. A large majority of men that become sodomites grow up with an overbearing, strong mother and a wimpy, jellyfish
man in the household. A helpless family unit will cause your family to malfunction, and parents, let me charge you, husbands, fathers-to-be, let me charge you to take the lead in your household. Otherwise, your children will grow up in a household and they'll be wondering, so what am I really meant to be doing around here? Who's really the boss? Who really calls the shots? And you will confuse your children. Malfunction. Are you awake now? The third major malfunction is what we refer to as wrong priorities. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 3, the Bible teaches us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Another major malfunction that we have today within our homes is the evidence of wrong priorities. God needs to be first place within each of our lives. Please say amen. And God needs to be first place within your home, beloved. Not your work, not making money, not education, not sport, not pleasure. God needs to be number one. And many of our homes are malfunctioning because God is not number one. It's making lots of money, that's the priority for dad. It's making sure that their child at the age of 8 becomes the next Albert Einstein, that's mum's priority in the home. Listen, God needs to be a priority in your home. Now, God wills for you to become, for your child parents, to become the next Albert Einstein, so be it, but I think you'd be better off encouraging your child to walk with God. Amen. And if you will put God first, and you will teach your children to put God first, and if they become the next Albert Einstein, they might use their brains for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Many of our homes are malfunctioning because we have wrong priorities. Our priorities are not right. Our priorities are not God. It's the things of this world. It's money. It's education. It's pleasure. It's sport. And we wonder why our children do not grow up wanting to serve and love God. Because they see mum and dad, they don't love God. They love money. Or they love pleasure. They love education. Your family will malfunction . It won't help your children, parents, listen to me, parents to be. If God is not number one in your household, it will not help your children to have a biblical framework of what should be number one. That's a problem. And it could cause your children to become covetous, because you're covetous. You spend more time talking about that boat that you're going to buy, or that next house you're going to buy, closer to the water. And you will breed within your child's heart a worldly, covetous mindset. You spend more time talking and thinking on the things of this world than the things of God, and you will breed within the heart of your child a worldly, covetous mindset, and also you will not teach your children how to walk with God and to trust God by faith, because they look at mum and dad, your children look at you as mum and dad and say, oh, mum and dad, they really trust money. All they talk about is money. All they do is work and work and work and work. That's where their faith is. And our children grow up in a household where the children are not learning to put God first and the justice. You're the problem. You're the problem. And I challenge you to put God first in your life. Wrong priorities are causing many of our children to malfunction. That's why some of your children here this morning, as soon as they get a chance to, they will be out of this place. Because they don't see reality in your life, they don't see that you really love God, you're just going through the motion, and as soon as they can, they'll be out. May God help us.
Wrong priorities. Now that we're warmed up,
I'm getting warm. Are you getting warm? We're going to get warmer. Okay, I'm going to move on to the fourth principle on why many families malfunction. And it's found within this passage of scripture here in Ephesians chapter 5.
This is what I call child-centered parenting.
Child-centered parenting will also cause your family, my family, to malfunction.
The basis of the family unit is the husband and wife relationship. Do you agree with that? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it reads, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." The basis of the family unit is the husband and wife relationship. This comes before children, and it needs to be our priority while raising our children. With the addition of children, and the work involved in raising children, especially a young family, unfortunately, many couples lose their perspective and they become child-centered as opposed to being focused upon their chief priority, which is the husband and wife relationship. And this will cause a malfunction. Our children will find great security in knowing that mum and dad love one another and that mum and dad are happily married. They want you, parents, your children want you to be together because you are mum and you are dad. And when we deteriorate within our homes to becoming child-centered as opposed to be focused upon our marriage first and foremost, then that will provide, that will cultivate some insecurity in the heart of that child. It's been well said that strong marital relationships equals strong parental relationships. And strong parental relationships equals strong sibling relationships. So in other words, as parents, we need to provide for our children. That goes without saying. But please remember, before being mum and dad, you are husband and wife. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33, the focus is upon the husband and wife relationship. There is no children inclusive. They're not included. The children come after. We move into the next chapter, then it stands the children on their own and says, "Children, obey and honour your parents." So why doesn't God include children between verses 22 to 33 of Ephesians chapter 5. Let me tell you why. Because the basis of a strong family is the husband and wife relationship. That is the basis. And parents, if you want to provide security for your children, many of our children are not secure. They feel insecure because their worth hinges on you, mum and dad, having a healthy relationship. And when they don't see mum and dad hugging one another, when they don't see mum and dad saying, I love you, when they're not convinced that mum and dad, well, mum, dad's priority, but dad, mum's priority, it will breed insecurity in the hearts of the children. Because their security is based upon a stable foundation that mum is with dad, mum loves dad, and nothing's going to come between them. That's Bible. That's Bible. Many a husband and wife drift apart during the years of raising a young family. And often this drifting just continues to the point where the children eventually leave home and there's mum and dad, they have little in common. Mum and dad this morning, mum and dad's to be, by faith. Your chief responsibility is your responsibility towards your spouse. Then comes the children. Now that can be very, very challenging when your children are very young. I understand that. But I believe it's possible. Child-centered parenting, where everything revolves around the child. The lounge room looks like a nursery. That's not a good thing, Karen. Your lounge will look like a lounge. Otherwise, you're training your children to think, oh, this is priority. Wherever I go, it's all for me. Why have you gone quiet on me? Your lounge needs to look like a lounge. Not a nursery, not a daycare centre. Keep your home looking like a home. And husband and wife, all other relationships need to be in subjection to your relationship towards your spouse. Please endeavour to spend time together as husband and wife without the children. Pastor, that's impossible. What's your choice? What's your choice? Oh, we go all out to host a party for our little child that really has got no idea what's going on, which amazes me. Have this big party when the child turns one and two and three, and it's all out, got the jumping castle, got the clown coming, and got the fairy floss, it's all big, big, big. But when your spouse's birthday comes up, you can't even remember the day. He knows March, but you can't remember what day it is. That's pitiful. What are you saying to your children? You go all out to have a birthday party for a one-year-old that has no idea what's going on. You don't even remember your spouse's birthday, let alone your wedding anniversary. And we wonder why our children are insecure. Our children, parents, need to see that our loyalty is first and foremost to our spouse. Don't worry, the children will be okay. You do it God's way, God will look after you. I'm not saying neglect your children. I'm saying don't have a child-centered home. That's why some of your children are very nervous. They're very insecure. And mark my words, it's because you as mum and dad have made them the focus and not your spouse the focus. Amen, Pastor. I've said it and I'll say it again. Biblical priorities do not conflict. Think about it.
penny will drop eventually when you see the light. Biblical priorities do not conflict. Work out what your priorities are, they won't conflict. I've determined, my wife has determined, that our relationship is evident before our children that it is number one. You can ask my children, I don't think they're neglected. You don't neglect it, are you? You happy? You're very happy. Biblical priorities don't conflict. And parents, if you continue to be child-centered, all your work, now listen to me now, this is going to be a tough one to digest, all your work will be wrapped up in what your children become. Yeah. And you'll spend more time telling people, oh, my son is a rocket scientist, and my daughter is the Secretary of Prime Minister of Australia, and that's where your work is. That is dangerous. Why is your security should be in your husband, not your children? And a glowing mark of where the children become the center of the universe in the family is when the parents have got to tell you, oh, this is what my children are doing. Because that's where we get our value, that's where we get our worth. Listen, you do not need that. As husband and wife, your work is within your marital relationship. Amen. Whether your child becomes a garbologist, or a street technician, or a lawyer, or a psychologist, whatever, your value is in God, your value is in your spouse. Amen. And you'll be thankful that they at least love God. We need more garbologists that love God. Amen. Amen. We need more woolies workers that love God. Amen. We need more doctors and lawyers and solicitors and definitely mechanics that love God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Child-centeredness will cause your children to malfunction. Parents, some of you have some very insecure children. You know they're insecure. And I challenge you to look at your own marital relationship. You'll probably find that's where the breakdown is taking place. Got time for one more. Think you better handle one more? One more malfunction. Ready for this one? Yeah. Now you think that one was rough? This one is... This is what I call the non-parenting. The non-parenting children. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, please, verse number 4. Ephesians 6:4 teaches us, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents, let me ask you this question. Who is really raising your children? Is it the childcare centre? Is it the school? Or is it the grandparents? See, if you would turn with me to Psalm 127, please. The Bible reminds us here in Psalm 127, to whom children are given to. Please, turn with me to Psalm 127. In verse number 3 it reads, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, for they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. My Bible teaches me that children are gifts from God. They are gifts from God to the parents. Am I right or not? Not to the grandparents. Children are gifts from God to the parents, not to the grandparents, let alone anybody else for that matter. And these verses teach us that every child is not only a gift from God to the parents, they have great potential, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. So are children of the youth. So a child is a gift from God to a parent. A child has great potential for usefulness as well. And also the Bible teaches us in these verses that those children given two parents can not only be useful, but also they can become a great source of joy to the parents. All of this comes with every child given to a mum and dad. Every child's a gift. Every child has potential. Every child is a source of joy. Amen. And it is within the family unit that Ephesians chapter 6 teaches us that the father needs to lead in the instruction of the children. He's to lead in not provoking them to wrath, but he's to provide instruction and discipline. Instruction and discipline. The nurture, admonition of the Lord. So the main education of the child is to take place within the home. Parenting is far more than just feeding a child, clothing a child, providing shelter for our children. No, it is to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Note there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verse 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Teach them what? The word of God. Shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So here in chapter 6, the Bible teaches us the home needs to be a haven of education, of teaching, instruction in the Word of God. This is why some of us homeschool our children, because we believe the Bible teaches us that God has given the parents the responsibility to educate their children. Many children today, in their formative years, listen to me carefully, spend more time in a daycare center or spend more time with the grandparents than with their own mum and dad. True. Grandparents and the daycare center are not ordained of God to raise your children. Amen. Daycare center. They're your responsibility to educate them. They're your responsibility to discipline them. It is a scientific fact that grandparents are infatuated with grandchildren. Yeah. And they will not do
discipline them because they're infatuated. And if your grandparents, if the grandparents will spend more time with your children, they're going to grow up not being disciplined. And you will breed a brat, a rebellious, strange child in the becoming. True.
Pastor, you're against grandparents. I'm not against grandparents. I'm looking forward to being a grandparent one day.
I just understand that my role will be, when I have grandkids, my role will be to support my grandchildren. And God would have it for me to be just infatuated with my grandchildren. And to understand that as a grandparent, I'm not here to discipline them, but that these children, these grandchildren, are not given to me, they're given to mum and dad. So I will enjoy them, but I will hand them back.
Seriously, many of our children are very emotionally needy, malfunction. Let me tell you why. Because they've been raised by the daycare center, or they've been raised by the grandparents. Daycare centers, grandparents do not meet the emotional needs of the child. Let me say it again. Daycare centers and grandparents do not meet the needs, the emotional needs of the child. That is whose responsibility? Yeah. Let me show you how you spell love to a child. You ready for this? Four words. You ready for this? In capital. C. I. M. E. That's how you spell love. C. I. M. E. Let's spell love together this morning. C. I-M-E. That's how you spell love to a child. And if your children, parents, spend more time at a daycare center or spend more time with the grandparents, they will never fill your role. And you will breed children that will become emotionally needy. And they'll look for that emotional need met somewhere else. Malfunction. Malfunction. I thank God that we have some families in this church that have upheld the standard of the fact that the children need a mother at home. Thank God for that. Oh, Pastor, you can't do that today. That's your choice. What's the priority? The pastor always works. Did God give you children? Are they gifts from God? Whose responsibility are they? They're not the daycare center's responsibility. They're not the grandparents' responsibility. Yes, grandparents are there to support and help and encourage, but they're not there to raise your children. You have that responsibility. And we have young people, children that are growing up very emotionally needy because they've been raised by somebody else and not mum and dad. Amen, Pastor. Do I speak the truth or not? Some of you parents need to have a bit of a shake-up and work out and remind yourself these children are God's gift to me.
running off looking for emotional acceptance in a fellow.
Non-parenting of our children. It's an epidemic.
I'm thankful that one of my children recently said to me, "Dad, why do people have children then put their kids in daycare centers 24/7? Amen. Good on you, son. You worked that one out. Children are a gift from God, am I right or not?
Amen.
Children have great potential, am I right or not?
Yes.
Children are a source of joy, am I right or not?
Yes.
Then invest in them.
And they will be your source of greatest joy. My children,
they're my joy. Award number one, actually, my wife. You guys, and you, Micah, as well.
Seriously, parents, as long as your children live in your home, they're under your authority. And I'm afraid that some parents, when their children get to the teenage years, they let go. They have this idea of, oh, well, they're a teenager now. Well, so what?
So what? They've got an old body, they've still got a mind like a child.
Right.
True, isn't it?
Yeah.
For some reason, what some parents do, they don't come to any more, they're a teenager. That is dumb. The capital T. Those are the years that they need the extra control.
Yeah.
I'm happy, aren't you? But what often what parents do, they just let them go. They think, they're a teenager now. So what? Adolescence. I understand they're looking like an adult, but they still have a child's brain. And their emotions are like this. Part of adolescence. That's the time they need your parenting, parents. And many families lose their children, their teenage years, because they think, oh, well, I can't do any more. You can do a whole lot more.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Malfunction. My time's up.
I've got two more, but next week. If you're brave enough to come back next week. Seriously. The devil's attacking the home. Very subtle, in a sense, but very in your face in another. Parents, don't be child-centered. Don't close your Bible up here, I'm not finished. Don't be child-centered. Parents, your chief priority is your relationship to your spouse. Please don't be child-centered. Parents, understand the fact that God has ordained you to raise your children. This is why many of our children are malfunctioning. May God help us.
biblical homes. And if you will by faith take the word of God at face value and seek to honor the word of God, God will provide. Some of you are raising emotionally needy children. There's a reason for that. Some of us are raising children that are something's not quite right. I challenge you, Mum and Dad, to ask the hard question. Work it out. What's your priority? And you young people, before you have children, let me encourage you, work it out now. Amen. Work it out now. And then when God sees fit to give you a lifetime partner, and God sees fit to give you children, you can start your family on the right basis. May God help us. We'll continue this next week. Are we still friends?